Now, I don't mean to sound like your mother, but when did you last see the doctor? And how long did you take to get an appointment? More importantly, how far did you have to travel for that appointment? If you're in the city, it might have taken a couple of days, maybe a week. But for many people in regional Australia, the wait times can be long, if you're lucky enough to have a doctor at all. I want to hear some of your experience of getting medical care in regional areas. What do you find difficult? How far have you had to go? And what do you think needs to be done to make the system better? We know the Health Minister, Mark Butler, announced extra hospitals funding in the last day or so. But is it going to the right areas, do you think? And what are those areas? 0418 226576. Michael in Largs in New South Wales says in the Hunter, it's finding a GP that is taking on patients. That is the problem. Most people go to ER at local hospitals. Travel, well, he says he travels about 16 kilometres round trip even to buy the Saturday paper, so I don't imagine it's any less for a doctor. And this is a text from a retired obstetrics specialist. He or she moved to the Northern Rivers. GP's asking me to please start work again due to extreme shortages of doctors. The GP grant is available to buy equipment, but the application is denied, as $1.4 million is available, but only to fly a specialist team to a city, from a city to a rural GP practice and paying for accommodation and flights rather than hosting the specialist in that town. So this is probably a good example, if this text is true, about how the announcement of funding can also come with some strings attached, if you like, and perhaps that might lead you to believe that the funding isn't going to the right areas. So tell me what the right areas should be. 0418 226576. Dr. Dan Halliday is the president of the Australian College of Rural and Remote Medicine. Dan, you're also a rural generalist at Stanthorpe Hospital in Queensland. I want to know what you've heard from patients about what it's like accessing healthcare outside the city in that area.
No worries at all, Andy, and thanks for having me on. So certainly the access to care that we're finding, these days is certainly more and more challenging for patients. In terms of in my neck of the woods in southern Queensland and certainly very close to the border of New South Wales as well, and so we tend to hear a lot from northern New South Wales, is that certainly the access to care and the timeliness to care is a challenge that patients needing access to a general practitioner could take 2 to 3 weeks. And as a result, they're actually going to see the emergency departments because that's the default model of care that we have in Australia. And one of the things that we've seen as a response, obviously, to the access to care and boosting things like urgent care clinics and the like, is that it's only a short-term fix. In reality, and we all know that the best value for money in terms of access to care is actually putting it into general practice. And of course, with my rural and remote experience, we see extreme value in that integrated model of general practice, which extends generally into the hospital and the acute setting. And like myself, I've got another number of colleagues that actually practice with advanced skills in a certain number of areas, and we keep the maternity service, the emergency services, and other valued services in rural and remote areas going.
But of course, you can't specialise in every area, and I'm wondering what specialities are missing the most. I mean, you hear a bit about oncology. You actually hear a lot from people who are planning to move to regional areas, and this is the one thing that they have reservations about: access to their specialist. Perhaps they've already got a pre-existing relationship, I don't know. But I'm just curious about what is that a common experience, or are there other services that are especially difficult for people to access?
Oh, that's a valid concern. And certainly during the recent COVID times, we'd had a tree change happen, and certainly in southeast Queensland, you see a lot of people would make the choice to actually move from the Gold Coast or Brisbane, into the Southern Downs, for example, in northern New South Wales. One of the challenges we've found then, of course, is that patients who had chronic and complex care needs were actually distanced from their safety net, of care, and that included their regular general practitioner and other specialists. And so that's a valid concern and definite consideration when people are actually looking to make that geographical change, for what they believe is better lifestyle. And I would certainly support the concept that it is, but it does have limitations.
I don't know if you've looked closely at the federal government's increase to the amount of funding it's giving to hospitals, which is obviously sorely needed. And I feel like I need to almost repeat that because we've been baying for years about the underfunding of hospitals for virtually all sectors, all industries that relate to the healthcare sector. But is the balance right, do you think? Because, you know, some think that this funding should be going to support regional GPs given the issues that you're describing.
I would argue to some extent that it should be. I attended a meeting in Canberra some weeks ago where the Secretary of the Department actually flagged the increase in funding coming through. One of the things that we saw, you know, at the time, and acknowledging that the government's commitment to tripling the patient bulk billing incentive rebate, you know, for provision of care, is that there needed to be an increased value on that down payment that was provided, you know, in November last year, to actually focus on the hospital-based model of care is actually treating a symptom, not necessarily the cause. And because we've seen that decade-long freeze on Medicare, effectively the Medicare winter, and we've seen a thaw, but we actually need to make sure that those green shoots that the minister's actually described continue to flourish. And without further sustained and directed support into the general practice and rural general sector, so that integrated sector between general practice, emergency and inpatient care within a rural setting, we're not going to see the benefit of that initial investment.
It's 24 minutes past four. You're listening to RN Drive. Dr. Dan Halliday is my guest. He's the president of the Australian College of Rural and Remote Medicine. We're talking about the challenges of accessing medical care in regional Australia, that is. Obviously, the federal government has chipped in with more money to go to the states. I'm curious to ask you if it's going to the right areas and what areas you think it should go to. 0418226576. Of course, Dan, the major issue, particularly for the healthcare sector, is labour supply. We know and we hear a lot about the regional doctor shortage. That's a big part of this. What's behind that in your view, and what do you think is the right solution here?
A number of reasons behind this, I think, Andy. If we look, again, looking at the value placed on the profession over the last decade or so, and particularly the value of care provided to patients, and mainly in rural and remote areas where a lot of the access to care is actually undervalued, we've seen general practice not seen as a viable professional option for medical graduates. So that's number one. We haven't had necessarily, particularly in rural areas, a dedicated recognised endpoint for the training, such as the specialty general practice rural generalist medicine recognition piece, which is actually just about finalised. So that's almost there. But also we've seen the effect of COVID, and so as a result, we haven't seen that normal migration that we would generally see because, you know, we've actually, unfortunately, we've had to rely on international medical graduates to cover more than 40 to 50% of our medical workforce in primary care. And then, of course, within the rural and regional context, we actually had policy changes to the district of distribution priority areas a couple of years ago, which meant that we saw a shift of those add additional doctors coming into the country, shift away from rural areas more into the regional and outer urban, or sort of inner urban type areas. And so there's been a number of issues in that area. We have, though, seen as a result of some focused funding towards rural generalist medicine, which incorporates specialist general practice and that extended skill set in rural medicine, we've seen an increase in the number of Australian-trained graduates wanting to train to a specialist general practitioner qualification with rural generalist medicine. And we are confident that with further investment, we might see some of these green shoots actually start to develop.
Dr. Dan Halliday is the president of the Australian College of Rural and Remote Medicine. I appreciate your time this afternoon.
No worries at all.
And as Jeremy says on the text line, Andy, I lived 3 hours from Mount Isa for quite a while. Look at the size of our continent. The only answer is to seriously increase the rural flying doctors, i.e. more planes, helicopters too, and the staffing increase required for proper outback and far distant regional healthcare. We need a major beefing up of the RFDS. And Jude in Brooks Bay says accessing medical care in the far south of Tasmania, particularly Dover, is currently wonderful. So, look, not all bad. Good to hear some positivity coming from Brooks Bay in the far south of Tasmania this afternoon.